Good evening. How's everybody doing this evening? Tonight we're going to be looking at Samuel and how his life paralleled Christ. I want to begin by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us." We know that in the Old Testament, Christ was concealed, and in the New Testament, he was revealed. And by reading this verse in Ecclesiastes, it made me think of Jesus, how he's everlasting, he's eternal. He has no beginning or no end. Revelations 1:8, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." And so there's nothing new under the sun. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. So tonight we're going to be looking at Samuel, and we'll see certain instances in his life that foreshadow Christ. And there's also a comparison between Samuel's mother, Hannah, and Jesus' mother, Mary. So the first thing we're going to look at is Hannah and Mary were blessed before the birth of their children. So tonight, the majority of the time, we're going to be in 1 Samuel and Luke. So if y'all want to hold y'all's places in 1 Samuel and Luke, that's where we're going to be flipping back and forth. We're going to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17, it said, "Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Now, Eli was the high priest in the tabernacle during that time. We're going to back up and we'll read verse 11. And at this time, Samuel's mother Hannah was barren. She didn't have any children, and she had made a vow before God. In verse 11 it says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." So she was without child, and her vow was, God, if you give me a child, I'm going to give him to you. And when the high priest heard this, he blessed her and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition. Next, we're going to see where Mary was blessed. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 30. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30, it says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So we see where Hannah was blessed by the high priest and Mary was blessed by an angel. Next, Hannah and Mary both praise God for his goodness. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 11. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let no arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall the thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Next, we'll see where Mary praised God. As we read Mary's prayer, look for similarities between Hannah's prayer and Mary's prayer. So let's turn to Luke chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 46. Beginning in verse 46, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. And she was at Elizabeth's house at this time. So we see where both Samuel and Jesus was raised in a godly home. Both of them had godly mothers, and they both exalted God and praised God for his goodness. Next, we're going to see where Hannah and Mary brought their children to the temple, or to the tabernacle. During the time of Samuel, they didn't have the temple yet. They were still in the tabernacle. So we'll begin, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 23. We're going to look at verses 23 through 20. Hannah, her husband, said unto her, Do what weaned him. Only the Lord bestowed and gave her son suck until she had weaned him. She took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and to a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. As thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am praying unto the Lord, for then he my petition which I asked of him. Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall have the Lord there. And so, her petition that she proclaimed before God and asked God to give her a child, he did that, and then she followed through with the vow that she made by bringing Samuel to serve the Lord for his whole life. And he was received by Eli, the high priest. And next we're going to see where Jesus, as a child, was also in the temple. We'll begin in verse 22. Luke chapter 2, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, called holy to the Lord, and said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, and the same man was just the nation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his Lord, now lettest thou thy servant according to thy word, for my which thou hast prepared before the face of a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Jesus was received by Simeon. So we see the result of having a godly mother is you more than likely going to have a godly child, or at least raise them up apart from it. They may stray. They won't forget what they learned. There's a story of a man. He was on the radio talking. I believe it was his grandmother that took him to church. His mother didn't. And as he became a teenager, he got away from church. He started doing the wrong things and eventually ended up in prison. He started doing a work on him in prison, and he learned as a small child in church. He starts doing a work. He can make you remember the things that you've learned of him a long time ago, and it didn't come to fruition until he was an adult. But we see God in his word. Mothers, and they were both in the temple. To God. And God rewarded. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. It says, And Eli blessed Elkanah, Lord, give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went into their own home, seed, and bare three sons. Samuel grew before the Lord. Before she had Samuel, she was barren. And she asked God, if you give me a child, I'll be. And next we'll see where Mary. Let's go to Matthew. We'll read verses 53. It says, And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished his parables, he departed thence, and taught them in their synagogue. And so, whence had this man this wisdom? And is not this the carpenter's son, and his brethren James and Judas? And his sisters then had this man all these. Now, a lot of people, especially Catholics, imagine on Mary being, you could say, they think there's a quartet, and they refer to her as the Virgin Mary. She was a virgin when she was obedient with more children. Is not this carpenter his father Joseph, his earthly father? And then it goes on to name his mother. And then it names his brothers. And then it doesn't give the sisters, so he had more than one sister. Sisters, you could say. Look at how Mary praised God and how she knew that just as much as anybody else. And she honored and glorified God. She didn't say, well, I can't wait till I die in Savior and I'm going to be man invented. And we see how the true Mary glorified God and knew that she in the world needed Christ. So next we'll see where both sets of parents, Anna and then Joseph and Mary, both visited the temple and tabernacle. So we'll begin in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19. In verse 19 it says, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So they at least saw Samuel once a year when they came. You had to go for the Passover. I believe there was three pilgrimage feasts that they were required to go to the temple or tabernacle. But the Passover you had to attend. And it said each year that they went up, his mother brought him a coat. And next we'll see, let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 41. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So Joseph and Mary also went to the Passover feast every year. Next, we're going to look at how Samuel and Jesus both served in the tabernacle and temple, and they were both small. They were small children. We'll begin in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we'll read verse 18. It says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. So it specifically says that he ministered before the Lord, being a child. Next, let's go to chapter 3, verse 21. It says, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so the Lord revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and that's how he reveals himself to us today. You know, thousands of years later, it's through his word. Next, let's go to Luke chapter 2, and we'll read verses 46 through 50. Luke chapter 2, verse 46, it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And so his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And the story was that Mary and Joseph had left and they thought Jesus was with them and he was lost, they thought that he had went ahead. They said, well, when we get home, he'll be there. Well, they got home and he wasn't there, so they had to turn around and go back to Jerusalem. And when they went back to Jerusalem, he was in the temple. He was ministering. So they were both small children as they were serving the Lord and teaching. Samuel and Jesus both grew in wisdom, stature, and favor of God and man. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. Verse 26, it says, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And next, let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. How do you think they were increasing with in favor of God and man? It was by being obedient to God and being in his word. Samuel and Jesus was given to Israel after a long silence from God. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And this word precious, it means rare. So there was a time of silence. There was a transition going on from, they were going from the time of judges into, there was about to be the time of the kings. So they were transitioning, and there was a time of silence. The word of God was rare. In those days, there was no open vision. The book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and there was a period of about 400 years where there was silence. Probably not until God sent John the Baptist to start preaching, making the way straight for the coming of the Lord. So there was a period of silence before Jesus came upon the scene as well. Samuel and Jesus were both prophets like unto Moses. Samuel fulfilling the prophecy partially, and Jesus fulfilled it completely. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll read verses 19 through 21. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so everybody knew that God had called Samuel, and that he was a prophet. Next, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, and as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded that house have more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." And so Jesus is greater than Moses. God told Moses that he was going to raise up a prophet like unto him. And this was that he was talking about Jesus. And when Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. Next, Samuel established the kingship in Israel, but Jesus established the true kingship of Israel and the world. So let's begin in 1 Samuel chapter 10, and we'll read verses 24 and 25. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, beginning in verse 24, it says, "And Samuel said to all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book, laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house." When God let Israel have a king, Samuel was the one who anointed Saul, and then when God rejected Saul, he's the one that anointed David. So he helped establish the kingship in Israel. He helped transition the time of judges to the time of kings. Next, let's go to Luke chapter 1, and we'll read verses 31 through 33. Luke chapter 1, verse 31, it says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And so Jesus is the true king, not only of Israel, but of the whole world. When we look at the prophets and the patriarchs of the Old Testament, they do parallel Jesus, but they couldn't do everything that Jesus did. They did like bits and pieces because they couldn't do everything Jesus did because people might be misled and say, well, they're the Savior, and God wasn't going to let that happen. But he did, in a sense, I like to call it to leave a breadcrumb trail, you know, to... When the Savior came upon the scene, they would look back and say, yes, this is the Savior according to God's Word. And so we see the parallels between Samuel and Jesus and also between their mothers, Hannah and Mary. And I find it interesting about that Mary had children after Jesus was born. I know a lot of Catholics, they don't like that, but... You know, she was a virgin when she brought forth Jesus. She obeyed God. And when she fulfilled her purpose, God blessed her with more children. And they based their whole religion on the Virgin Mary. Well, you know, she's not a virgin anymore. She's just Mary. You know, she's the mother of Jesus. And I find it interesting how they both honored and glorified God. You know, Mary was very humble, and she knew who she looked to and thanked for salvation. You know, it wasn't herself. It was by the grace of God. And we see, according to the Word of God, how Mary truly was. And she was thankful.